time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It is Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018, and we have about 16 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory for rough conditions on the Columbia River Bar, which is that area right at the mouth of the river near Cape Disappointment. It's a rare, the gigantic, huge volume of water on the Columbia River meets the sea, and it's a very tumultuous, dangerous area that warrants its own marine weather forecast. So there is a separate Columbia River Bar marine forecast that comes out every day. And the forecast for the main channel of the bar today, which is the deep area where the ships come and go, combined seas 7 to 8 feet through tonight. However, seas will temporarily build to around 12 feet high, with breaking waves likely during a very strong ebb current around 5:45 this evening. So that's the time when, about halfway through the outgoing falling tide cycle, the river reaches a really fast pace out there. 7 knots, that's a lot, especially for a small vessel. And that is all that water slamming into the ocean. It can create waves. It's going to create breaking, so surf on the bar. So just a dangerous time. The reason for having this forecast is really to let people know when they shouldn't be out there. And on an ebb is one of the worst times to be on the Columbia River Bar. So this forecast is essentially telling mariners when not to go across that area of the river. Today, overall, in our marine weather forecast around the region, southeast winds 5 to 10 knots. Wind waves from the north, from the southeast, rather, 2 feet at 4 seconds. Westerly swells 4 feet high at 13 seconds apart. So we have those southeast winds generating those southeast wind waves and the swells coming in from the west at 4 feet high. So there could be some confused seas activity out there. And we'll talk a little bit about how we could have those southeast winds and still have other waves coming from different directions. We're going to be talking more about waves today on the Ship Report. We're kind of on the topic of waves this week, which is really fun, I think, because I've been reading this great book, How to Read Water by Tristan Gooley, and every page is just a discovery. It's just very fun to read. So I'm going to share some more of that with you in just a minute. But let's take a look at today's Columbia River ship schedule. We have seven inbounders. We have 4 in the Astoria anchorage, and we have 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the ANSAC Christine Nancy, arriving from Taiwan, headed for the Longview anchorage. She'll be going up to Portland to pick up soda ash. Passing Astoria around 2:30 p.m., you might see her in Longview by 6 p.m. The Imagi Galaxy is arriving from China, headed for Vancouver. She's a petroleum tanker. She's going to be, her cargo is refined petroleum. She'll pass Astoria around 2:30 p.m. You might see her in Vancouver by about 8:30 p.m. The articulated tug and barge rig, the Sound Reliance, is arriving from Anacortes, Washington, headed for Portland. Her cargo is refined petroleum also. Passing Astoria around 3:30 p.m., around Portland area around 9:30 p.m. And by refined petroleum, I mean things like gasoline, jet fuel, even biodiesel in some cases coming in on those vessels instead of, say, crude oil. Next inbound is the Harvest Leader, arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for Vancouver, Washington. She has Subarus on board, a car carrier, so she's a high-sided, blocky-looking vessel, but very seaworthy. Passing Astoria inbound, maybe around 4 o'clock, something like that, and you might see her in Vancouver by 10. The Don Quixote is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's another car carrier, another high-sided ship. She's got Hondas on board. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 5:30 p.m. That would put her at the port of Portland by about 11:30 this evening. The Medi Zuoz is arriving from South Korea. She'll arrive in the Astoria anchorage maybe around 11:30 this evening. The Bluefin is arriving from China. She's also headed for Astoria's anchorage. She'll get there around 3:30 a.m. or so, 3 a.m. And in the Astoria anchorage, we also have the Star Crimson headed for upriver to another anchorage, Crims Island, near Meagher on the river, before Longview. She'll get there. She'll leave about 8 a.m. and maybe get there maybe a few hours later, maybe 3 hours later, and anchor there. The Andromeda is headed from the Astoria Anchorage to Kalama. She's picking up wheat. She'll leave about 6 p.m., get there maybe around 11. The Martine is awaiting orders offshore in the Anchorage in Astoria, and the Prabhu Mahika is also awaiting orders. Eventually, those two ships will head upriver and pick up their own cargoes as well. The Lily Oldendorf is headed out of Portland, the port of Portland, with potash on board at about 6:30 this morning. That would put her past Astoria around midday. The Sunbelt Spirit leaving Portland, another car carrier on the river. She's leaving about outbound at about 2:30, maybe 8:30. You'll see her pass Astoria, or her running lights, at least, in the dark. The Star Kvarven is leaving Vancouver around 7:30, maybe passing Astoria in the wee hours of the morning around 1:30 a.m. The Pabur is leaving, looks like around 8 p.m. That would put her past Astoria around 2 a.m. And the Tahiti 1 is leaving Kalama's anchorage at about 10 p.m. So she'll be passing Astoria in the wee hours as well, around 3. Well, we're talking about waves this week, and I just was kind of geeking out on this topic. And I want to talk to you about kind of how waves begin with a tiny movement of wind across the water into the big swells that you see coming here from as far away as Japan. So I'm going to read you a little bit from this book, How to Read Water by Tristan Gooley. If the circumstances are right, so today we're going to be talking about ripples, wind waves, and swells. One builds upon the other, and the swells are the biggest of all. If the circumstances are right, ripples will develop into waves, which may become swell. Now, a ripple is like if you blew across the top of a cup of coffee, you would see ripples. The very slight movement, force, energy can cause a ripple. And if the energy continues, they can develop into other things. If the circumstances are right, ripples will develop into waves. We call them wind waves, which may later on become swell. But the vast majority of ripples will die out long before they reach those second or third stages. It's a little bit like seeds, seedlings, and mighty trees. Many seedlings start life, but few are around a long time later. Since all it takes for the ripples to die away is a lull in the breeze, it's a wonder that bigger waves are ever born. For ripples to become waves, we need a constant wind, ideally blowing in a consistent direction for a period of time. And typically for an hour or more. So it takes that long for all that energy to sort of be loaded into the water, for it to develop some autonomy and keep moving by itself. Calm water doesn't offer much resistance or friction to the wind because it's so smooth. But once there are ripples, once those ripples start, the water's surface is much rougher. And it catches the wind more easily, so it creates friction. As soon as ripples are formed on a windy day, a self-reinforcing cycle is set up because it is now so much easier for the wind to gain a purchase on the water's surface. So the idea that water, that there's friction involved in water. If a steady wind blows across ripples for long enough, it causes the ripples to undergo a small metamorphosis. They're given enough energy from the wind to become big enough and strong enough to break the bond of surface tension. Remember that surface tension in the water is very strong on a microscopic scale, but it's not strong on a large scale, which is why we can't walk on water, for instance. So once the waves have sufficient energy, they cease to be dampened down in the way that ripples are. They've survived to wave adolescence, and they're known by a new name, gravity waves, because it is now no longer just surface tension that is governing their fall, but gravity. The key thing is that now the waves have merged from their subjugation to surface tension. Their energy will travel much farther and for much longer before dissipating. So ripples sort of graduate into waves. And once the waves build enough energy, as I mentioned yesterday, they become swells. And once they are become more self-contained and they have that energy in them, they can travel for hundreds, thousands of miles across the ocean and arrive here in our area from places as far away as Japan. So very interesting. I mean, I'm just really enjoying the heck out of this. And we'll talk a little bit more tomorrow about more about waves and how they operate. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.